This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Steenhook Appraisals, Key Cooperative, Midtown Tire, Titan Machinery, Lighton State Bank, Four Seasons Yard Care, Golf Cars of Iowa and Pleasant Hill, Cargill of Eddyville, and First Bank of Linville and Sully. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrl.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Walmart of Pella, Allen Family Dentistry, Dutch Meadows, Eye Care Partners, Pella Precast Products, De Blumenhof, Laley USA, Central College, and Verduft Agency. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What resources do the Natural Resources Conservation Service have to offer farmers and other landowners? What are some of the positive and negative aspects of some of the programs the government offers? Let's go in depth with Jeff Mathias with the Natural Resources Conservation Service for Marion County. So, Jeff, what does the Natural Resources Conservation Service do?
We are involved with helping people improve their land for quality, whether they want to use it for agricultural uses, wildlife uses, set it aside so it's not an agricultural, take a rest, you know, from the agricultural uses, pasture land. We help farmers with cattle or other livestock do work on the pasture land. Basically anything to help improve the land, the soil quality, and the water quality leaving the land.
And so is part of the goal to help retain the soil, help protect the waterways, but then also, in some instances, help the farmer to make a good profit, too? Does profit have anything to do with that?
It's a secondary effect, is the profit. A lot of times, you know, when we can do the stuff to help improve it, the end result is also going to help their bottom line on it. You know, for example, you know, one of the things that's been happening in this county for the last 2 to 3 years is a lot of people have yield monitors in their combines now, so they know which part of the field yields good and which part doesn't. And we've seen that with people setting aside small areas of fields, you know, maybe 10 or 20% of a field that is yielding half of what the rest of the field is, and they're not making money on that. So yeah, it's helping to improve their bottom line by either cutting expenses or increasing the yield.
Well, and what are some of the programs that you have? I know there are different programs that come and go and have different opportunities, different openings, etc. What kinds of programs would you like to bring to people's attention today?
Boy, that's a long list. One of the programs that's pretty popular here is the Conservation Reserve Program, CRP. That's a program that temporarily sets land aside from crop production. One of the ones that I was just, you know, talking about, when you can set aside part of the land for a while and not produce on it. That's probably one of the bigger programs that we work with in the county. We also do a lot of work on cropland that they want to stay in cropland by installing terraces, water and sediment control basins, grassed waterways, different practices to help keep that land in good shape. You know, we can do that through many different programs, which would include the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, commonly referred to as EQIP, which is a federally funded program. We also have the State Cost Share Program, which, you know, hasn't changed in 30 years that we've had that program. It does a lot of work there. We also have had a program called WIP, Wildlife Habitat Improvement Program. We've used that some for more wildlife habitat ground. There's also a state cost share program that comes from REAP dollars, which REAP stands for Resource Enhancement and Protection, where we can pay to help maybe do a native grass planting on something that doesn't qualify for CRP, we can do it to help improve timber stands, or maybe even plant a timber someplace that's some pretty poor soil, and somebody's like, you know, I'd really like to have that back to timber. I remember when that was timber when I was a kid or something. So let's see. Other than that, we also have the permanent easements of the Wetlands Reserve Program, which is available to us. That's one that takes the bottom land ground that is flood prone, and we can turn that into wetlands that then allows the water when the rivers come up to has a place to go instead of trying to keep them in that narrow bank channel. Lets the water go out there, might help protect some other ground downstream. Gives us a lot of wildlife habitat on that ground too. So those are the ones that come to my head right off the bat, I guess.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Skuring Utermarkt, Sims, McLeish and Vermeer PC in Pella, The Sign Spot, Steenhook Excavating, Vandenbroek Concrete, Tassel Ridge Winery, Marion County Bank, Two Rivers Cooperative, Tri-County Veterinary Clinic, and Meniga Pest Control. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the Radio Audio Media Player on KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Cooperative, Creative Landscaping, Marion County Farm Bureau, Pleasantville Community Schools, Souter Family Farms, Westridge Nursing and Rehab Center, and Dandee Farms.
I continued my conversation with Jeff Mathias with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. I have a friend that bent my ear the other day. He has some issues with CRP. He thinks that it's taking some good land out of production. He's a good farmer. He does what he thinks he should do to protect the land and the soil for future generations. And he thinks that every farmer, every good farmer does that. And he thinks that putting a lot of things into CRP takes some land that could be used, say, for cattle. He thinks this good rolling hill country is great for cattle. It takes some land out that maybe that's not the best land that maybe young farmers could be using. And he had some other kinds of concerns, too, that it invites non-farmers to invest in agricultural land with agricultural potential that doesn't, they're not farmers and they're using it. And so you have outside investment, and he had a lot of concerns. I know it's sort of tough for you as a federal employee to address some of these, but those that you can, would you address some of those concerns?
I think he has some very valid concerns. And I know looking at it from, you know, just looking at Marion County, you know, that's what he's looking at. It is very important how he sees things, and I do see it the same way for Marion County. We need to remember that these programs are nationwide, and we have to cover all 50 states with these programs. One of the things I guess I would say with somebody like that is we have a new farm bill coming up, and we need to talk to our legislatures in Washington, D.C. about these issues and suggest those things and really get the facts and numbers and say, hey, it's a lot of help if we aren't tying our hands by putting this ground into CRP and not letting it be grazed, because it is a great way for people to get into farming or kids to come back to the farm and get started back up, is to be able to try to start in with some cattle.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Two Rivers Cooperative, Don's Heating and Cooling, Goff Farming and Trucking, Marion County Rural Water, Heartland Co-op of Prairie City, Monroe, Newton, and Runnels, and McCall Monument. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pleasantville State Bank, Marion County Auto Body, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Motor and Auto Group, Vermeer Incorporated, and Cushman Construction. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Jeff Mathias with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Well, and I've seen some really well-managed, large pastures in Marion County that look like they're, I mean, they're holding the soil, there's lots of grass on, there's not too many cattle, so you can do it in an environmentally sound way. Is that right?
Yes, we can run into some trouble. I mean, it's one of those things where we have, you know, and I was down in Lucas County where there's a lot more of it. We've had a lot of, seen a lot of pasture and have seen things that work and can work with you and coming up with ideas on how to make the ground better. You know, one of the things about pasture management that we've really been promoting is trying to rotate the cows and give the ground rest. If we take ground that we normally have cows on for 2 weeks at a time and cut it down to where we're moving them twice a week, take that same amount of ground and split it into four different paddocks, we almost double the amount of forage that's coming off that ground.
And you have the information to help people do this?
We can work with people to help them come up with that. We have cost share programs that could be available. It takes a long time, and it takes a lot of planning and talking to get these things figured out, because we need to figure out where we're going to get water. You know, do we need to put in another pond? Different things like that to figure out how exactly best to do this. We, you know, we need to look into the streams running through there. Can we fence across them? Do we need to fence them out? There's all kinds of factors that need to be looked into, but as far as pasture land goes, we are always looking to try to do some pasture land improvement in the county.
But if we want to see this CRP move a little bit, responsible cattle grazing, or sheep or goats, whatever, responsible grazing, that's something that the legislature has to take up.
Yes, they've, you know, and I shouldn't say that they haven't done anything on it. I know that they have now allowed CRP ground. In the last 2 years, a young or a beginning farmer can actually start grazing CRP ground, you know, that he is renting from somebody else, because, you know, the government doesn't need to be paying to rent this ground that could be being paid by somebody else to utilize.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on agriculture is brought to you in part by Raceway Tire and Exhaust, Kevin Wadley, CPA, Farm Bureau Financial Services Agent Cliff Douglas, Knoxville Hy-Vee, Freebird Bail Bonds, Iowa State Savings Bank, and the Knoxville Raceway. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the Radio Audio Media Player on KNIA. KRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, CC Equipment Sales and Rental, Pleasantville FFA Alumni, HCI Care Services, formerly Hospice of Central Iowa, Hewitt Service Center, Iowa State Savings Bank, and the Knoxville Raceway.
I continued my conversation with Jeff Mathias with the Natural Resources Conservation Service. Now, in general, are Marion County farmers good conservationists?
Yes, I would say for the most part, I'm really happy with what I'm seeing done around here. You know, everybody's, you know, they know what's going on and they know what we require, and they're trying to do a great job at, you know, they know when they need the stuff. And, you know, one of the biggest factors is, you know, they have to have money to be able to do the improvements to the system. So, you know, we have people who, you know, are putting terraces in, putting waterways in. You know, they know where they have their problems and they're working to address them one way or another. And, you know, they're sure finding a lot more problems, like I said earlier, with the yield monitors. This ground just doesn't produce. And, you know, we can tie it back to one thing or another. And, you know, either get that ground out of production, get it seeded down to hay, you know, the CRP. There's options that are available that's, you know, economically driven, that's going to make these people look into doing something different on those kinds of areas.
Now, before we sat down and turned the recorder on, you were talking to me a little bit about cover crops.
That's one of the new areas we've really been starting to promote. is cover crops, and it's really tied into soil health and soil quality. It's something we're really starting to push here over the next 2 years probably, is we need to have good soil health, good soil quality. For example, you know, when you're not feeling good, you just don't feel right. Well, the soil's kind of the same way, and we have people, you know, we're getting training on this, and, you know, the training's really just starting here. I know we have a training next week for our employees, and then there's going to be another training that we're going to have open to the public in June that's going to be up in Ames, going over soil quality and how to figure out if you have good soil quality in your ground. You know, some of it's the smell of the ground, some of it's, you know, making sure you have the microorganisms in the ground. One of the big things that they're promoting the cover crops is because that allows the microorganisms in the ground, they grow throughout the fall and early spring when we don't have our corn and soybeans growing. The more we can have something green on that ground, we are seeing the better we are ending up with our corn yields, and we're thinking it's tied into being able to have those microorganisms in the ground doing a good job. The beneficial ones are able to keep growing throughout the winter, the ones that feed off of the roots and that kind of stuff. So
you want it once we take off the corn and beans, there should be some a planting that would maximize the nutrients in that soil as it overwinters, is that, and also the microorganisms, is that what you're telling me?
Well, we're thinking some of them will help pull some of the fertility up from lower in the soil. Some of them will help trap the nitrogen. For example, this last year when we had the drought, not all of the nitrogen got utilized in the ground. We know that because, you know, we just didn't get the yields. That nitrogen's still sitting there. If we put a cover crop on, it's going to pull it up, it's going to tie it up for the year, and then it's going to decay and make it available for the next crop. So even though we're going from, we put the nitrogen on corn, the soybeans would still utilize that instead of that being washed down the system through the tile lines, is what we're hoping for. Another advantage people are thinking is happening with it is that those root channels that we get from these winter cover crops, and the biggest one that's being used around here is cereal rye, when those plants get killed off in the spring, the root channels from the corn and the soybeans are going down those same, the roots from the corn and soybeans are going down those same root channels that was developed by those, so they can get down into the ground faster. It's kind of doing something, you know, to help out with compaction and making it easier for the roots to get into the ground. So the less work that the corn plant has to do, the more it can put towards yield.
Okay, and so that's the main crop rye, and then is that harvested, or what happens to that?
No, it just gets, it usually just gets chemically killed in the spring. It's very tricky right now because you have to talk to your crop insurance provider. We're trying to get this worked out right now. It has to be killed by a certain date in the spring so that they can have insurance on their cash crops. Otherwise, they get dinged, and the rye is supposed to be their primary crop. We're not allowed to double crop in Iowa. So these people have to make sure to follow the rules that is put in by crop insurance.
So they can call your office, or probably better, call their own crop insurance person?
They need to talk to their crop insurance person. We're staying out of that part of it just because every crop insurance company doesn't have to follow. They can set their own rules. They have certain federal guidelines they have to follow, but as far as coming down from there, they don't necessarily have to complete all of it.
So. Any other cover crops they're talking about people might want to use?
We had somebody in the county use turnips last year. We've had some tillage radishes get done. One of the big things we've been trying to do is promote mixes of different things. The turnips and radishes are supposed to help alleviate compaction. They put that big root like a carrot down into the ground, and they can get in there 10 to 12 inches and maybe break up some of that compaction layer.
But that can't be a commodity crop, the turnips?
No, they will winter kill. They'll die out in December usually. So, but you know, it's one of those things you put in there, and then, you know, you can still see the tops, but by the end of this month, you won't be able to even see they were out there. So, we, you know, and one of the big things we've been pushing is mixing them. If you can get them on early enough to try to put a legume in on ground going to corn so that you don't have to put as much nitrogen on. For example, you have a soybean crop and you plant red clover and rye together on top of that afterwards. The rye will help keep the ground in place. The red clover might produce a little bit of nitrogen to help with that corn crop, and then we could lessen the amount of nitrogen we need to put on. It's really been working successful farther south and east in southern Indiana, southern Illinois. They can put on crimson clover, and it doesn't kill in the winter down there because they stay warm enough that they can get close to 100 pounds of nitrogen from that clover.
Any last thoughts you'd like to share with the listening audience today?
We'll be having some information posted around the office, and I'll probably try to get it out and talk to you on the radio about it again coming as we get closer to June about this cover crop soil quality meeting we're going to be having in June up in Ames. And if people, you know, want to ride, I may have some room for people to ride with us or make sure it gets out so that people can attend it and try to learn more, because it's doing a lot of good. From everything I've heard, I've seen a little bit, we're getting more of it going on. We might as well jump on the bandwagon while we can and get going with this stuff.
Thanks to Jeff Mathias for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.